You're listening to WBCALP 102.9 FM, Boston. Boston's community radio station.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. And so welcome back. I'm glad that you're tuning in this Sunday. And I know probably you've had such an intense week, but hopefully you are able to go fellowship, be amongst the saints. Remember, the Bible declares that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And so we definitely pray that you are able to magnify the Lord and be around good people, and that you went, that you entered his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and that you greeted the saints with a hymn, a holy hug. Amen. And so things are good. Things are exciting because we say so. I have with me in the studio today Cassandra, and I'm so glad that she's a guest on our show. She's a really wise young person, a young mother of a two-year-old. And so, you know, our goal is always to encourage you and to lift, lift your spirits up. Amen. We don't want you to give up. Amen. We don't want you to begin and not finish. But I'd like for Cassandra just to greet you and say hello.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's always great to be here on Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I mean, that title alone just gives you strength and just reminds you that you can keep going. And so I hope we have a great conversation today as we uplift the people.
Amen. You know, I always say it's just really having a conversation, and we're prepared to just see and let the Lord use us. The kind of the topic that was on my heart was to receive the gift, and you know, and liking it to, like, a young person who receives the gift on Christmas morning. I don't think that when they go to the Christmas tree or they get the present, or even on their birthday receiving a present, I don't think there's one thought in their mind to know if they deserve the gift. Are they worthy of the gift?
Right.
I don't think they're like, well, you know, Ma, I talked back to you last week, so, you know, you can keep the gift. I don't want it, right? We don't do that with a gift or presents, but do we do that with the Lord, right? Do we receive the gift that he has presented us? Mm-hmm. Or do we, instead of receiving the gift, think about all the reasons why we're not worthy to receive it? But I thank God for what Jesus did. And so, Cassandra, I want to talk a little bit around that, just that subject, that thought. What comes to your heart when you think about receiving the gift and maybe not even feeling worthy of the gift?
Yeah, you know, that reminds me just really just of the goodness of God, where he thought of each and every thing that he wanted on this earth and in this universe. He created everything, animals, trees, birds, you know, and to think of us and think of and to know who we are before we even got here really just, for me, shows us that he knew exactly how he was putting all of our plans together and all the intricacies. And in spite of that, in spite of knowing who we are, you know, God really gave us his only begotten son so that whosoever believed in him, you know, shall have life and not perish. And essentially, it's like when you think about, you know, human nature and just our flaws and unworthiness in general, just our sin, the fact that we're born in sin, and really when you think about all the people, you know, in the Old Testament who were just not living according to God's law. And, you know, even Adam and Eve, where God gave us choice, he gives us free will, and he wants us to choose him. And he knew that, you know, all the different standards that were there in the Old Testament and according to the old law, humans were not, you know, keeping that in check. And therefore, people were dying and people were having to sacrifice with blood, you know, to have forgiveness in that way. And so once Jesus came, you know, I think it's just that is the gift that now, you know, the sacrifice of himself and the blood that Jesus shed now abstains us from that old law. And we can walk in, you know, we can walk in salvation simply through Jesus' sacrifice.
Yes.
And that is the gift, because if it were up to, you know, if we were still held to the standard of the old law without Jesus' coming, oh my goodness, we'd all be, you know, truly wrapped up in hell, not making it past who knows how, you know, what age, etc. But the fact that we're living, the fact that we're here, the fact that we get a second chance,
yeah,
is the gift.
It's the gift.
Because we are essentially not worthy. But Jesus, going through Jesus, accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, is our only requirement to just truly living. And going to heaven, of course, but just also it's the word of God that he gives us that allows us to have a life that is peaceful, is full of love, is full of joy. You know, he gives us the way with his word, and he gives us the exact path, you know, with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I think there's no other greater gift. It is the best gift. It is the gospel. It is the thing to share and to rejoice about.
Amen. Just receive the gift.
You just got to receive.
You just got to receive it. And that's the thing. We're trying to maybe fix it, maybe. The Bible says that our righteousness is but a filthy rag. So even, you know, it's like we can't create it. It's like we can't make it up. We just have to receive what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And I know sometimes people object to the version of the Message, but I wanted to read Ephesians 2:7-10. In the Message Bible, and then if need be, I can also read it in the King James Bible. But they stretched it out, and it says, "Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from the start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. But no, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing." Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we don't do the saving. We don't do the creating. Hallelujah. It's God who does it. And sometimes it can be very humbling, but we need to just fall into his hands and just give him thanks for what he has done and just receive the gift. Now, my question would be, what would cause us to not receive such a great gift, such a great presence? Because that might be where we need to start doing the work to begin to annihilate that thought or that feeling. So, Cassandra, what do you think could stand possibly in the way of receiving the gift?
Well, you know, that that makes me think of the analogy you gave about a child opening presents on Christmas Day. And it's like, of course, that child is not thinking about whether or not they deserve the gift.
Right.
But as the parent, you know, we know what our child does and if they, you know, and what they're up to and if they do or do not, you know, deserve to have a little gift. But I know when it comes to me and my daughter, Melody, as you know, even if she did do something that wasn't the greatest or the best, I couldn't see myself like withholding anything from her. Now, there's always discipline. There's always wanting to give consequences. But even in disciplining or even in giving her consequences, I would never withhold any love from her. And I think that's where the part that reminds me of Jesus. I would still give Melody a gift just simply because I love her, even if she did a little something that didn't deserve it, you know. And I think that's how it just shines how much God loves us and God's love for us, that of course we probably are not worthy. We're not worthy, and he says it, and yet and still, he still loves us. He still loved us enough to shed his life on the cross for us, to think of us so far ahead of himself and of that moment, you know, 2024, who we are today, all the children and people before that come after that moment. He thought of us. That sacrifice was to think of us, and so... You know, that's the love part. And so then it's a matter of your question is, well, what could stop somebody from, you know, receiving the gift? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting. It would have to be for that person to not know how to receive love or to have that difficulty or to have to begin doing the work of, you know, what's stopping me from receiving love that that is, you know. Mm-hmm. That is not truly unconditional, true love, I will say, not conditional, because there is the condition of accepting Jesus, but it's true love. What would stop one? And I think it's just might be just psychological trauma experiences. Unfortunately, we build up thoughts and narratives in our mind that we choose to believe. We choose to believe about ourselves. But wouldn't it be a little something if we saw a child that was like, no, I don't want that new bike? That we'd be a little bit concerned, you know, because the child shouldn't be thinking that of themselves or thinking that they're unworthy of something, especially if it's coming from love. So unfortunately, there would be more work to do in regards to how one is opening themselves up to the love of God.
Right. And that's something, if you're listening to this broadcast, that's something that you get to examine, right? No one can point fingers at it, but you get to sit down and ask yourself the question, have I really received the gift? Have I really let Jesus Christ into my heart? Am I really ready to allow him to be Lord of my life and to trust him even when it doesn't make sense? The Bible does tell us that, you know, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so it lets me believe that I will not always understand the ways and thoughts of God. However, as I continue to read the word of God, he said, hey, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, and that you can have the mind of Christ, right? And so as we begin to spend time, it's almost like your example, I guess we're using examples of children, but the more your children are around you, the more they pick up of your habits and of your ways, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, whether it's intentional or not, they are absorbing everything that you are doing, feeling, experiencing, and then they're imprinting it into their own little hearts and minds, right? And so how we raise, how we protect our kids, did the child grow up with rejection or feeling rejection and things like that? Maybe their experience with their own earthly natural father was not positive. And so now when to receive this gift of Jesus Christ, where now we can call him Abba Father, sometimes it can, like you said, mess up our thinking, you know, our psychology on the whole matter. But we get to deserve to take a moment and to begin, why would you not receive a gift? How is it that we could be sitting in church, hearing the word of God, right? Inspirational words, motivational words, and we don't allow it to penetrate or to saturate our hearts and minds? No shift, no change. Been, you know, we always say sometimes we see people been in church 10, 20 years, and yet they still don't walk in joy. They still don't have fruit that, you know, you could take a bite out of and say, wow, that's some good fruit. Fruit there, you know. So you're right. I'll read it again, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 from the King James Version, because, you know, the Message is a great tool, but sometimes it leaves out important words, but I like the way it stretches it out sometimes. It's like, you know, when you stretch out a balloon to make it easier to blow, right? Because sometimes it's so tight, but when you stretch it a little bit, then you're able to get the air in a little more easier. here. But the word here says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you. And we receive it through faith. It's not of ourselves. And, you know, sometimes people want to make everything about themselves, right? How they feel, how what you've been through. It's not about you. It's not always about you. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Because the one thing about man is sometimes they like to boast on their attributes, or I got this because, you know, I worked hard. Because I went to college. I have my PhD, you know. But it's a gift. The gift is from Jesus Christ. For the grace, we are saved through faith, not ourselves. It is the gift of God. And so today we're just simply challenging you to receive the gift. And you may say, well, I've already received the gift. You know, I was 17 years old and I received the gift. Amen. Hallelujah. And so now I would also say to you, are you extending the gift? Are you spreading that gift? Are you spreading that good news to others so that they can walk in the benefits that come with opening and receiving the gift of God?
Yes, yes. I just came across the scripture that says, if God did not spare his own son, but freely delivered him over to death on our behalf, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That's Romans 8:32. And that truly reminds me of, you know, for that one person that is dealing with, it struggles with feeling the worthiness of God, or feeling worthy in themselves of coming to God, feeling shame that they're unworthy of coming to God because of the things they've done, because of their past, because of their shame. I think the true gift, and what one would have to do to truly accept the gift, is that in spite of that pain, that those experiences, that darkness you might feel, God's not requiring us to come perfect. God's not requiring us to come fully whole and knowing what to do. All he said was to come. All he said was to accept. And in that process where you're accepting Christ and inviting him into your life, that's when God restores and transforms. You don't have to do it on your own beforehand. You don't have to try to, sober up to come to Christ. It's the aspect of come to Christ and let him do the work in you. Don't do this work on your own. God will show you himself. Yes. When you accept him. The first step is to take that step of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he will do the rest to make you whole.
Amen. Like, he who begun the work in you is faithful to complete it. God is faithful. I mean, he knew us while in our mother's womb, right? He knows us. He knows every hair on our head. He knows the purpose, the plan that he has for us. He wouldn't just start the process and then leave us hanging. And that's where we have to trust. That's where we have to exercise our faith to know that God is sovereign, right? He's aware of all things. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. He can be in several places at once, not the devil. Although we give the devil so much credit, but yet here is God extending, giving grace, you know, having mercy, showing love and kindness. He said, with loving kindness will I draw him. That we're actually being drawn not because of the pain, but we're being drawn with his loving kindness. Truly, he has said that many are the afflictions of the righteous. But even in that, he said, hold on, because I will deliver you from them all. Mm-hmm. And so we want to encourage you to hold on to God's unchanging hand and realize that just because you don't see it and just because you don't feel it, he is there. He is aware. He is working out the situation. What the enemy has meant for your destruction, the Bible tells us that God is going to turn it around for your good. And that's what you stand on. God, begin to thank him in that. That God, thank you for turning this situation around. Thank you for opening up my eyes and seeing all the possibilities that you have for me. Amen. When the enemy tries to make you shut your eyes, you open them. When he begins to make you try to be discouraged and speak discouraged, no, you choose life, because there's a choice. You can choose life or you could choose death. You could choose the words that will bring life and fruit, or you can choose the words that are going to bring death. It's up to you. We want to help you, push you to make the choice of life. You can speak to the dry things of this world, of your situation, and begin to prophesy unto it that you will live. We will see fruit. We will get a new perspective. We will get stronger. We will do better in the name of Jesus. That's how sometimes we begin to fight. We change, we work and in the opposite of what we're feeling. If you feel sad, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And so we want to walk in the joy. That's a fruit. Love, peace, joy, right? Mm-hmm. And so therefore choose joy. We could choose hopelessness, but we're encouraging you to choose joy. You could speak death and discouragement, but we're saying choose life, choose hope, choose faith, choose God, choose the gift.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. It's a choice. Make the choice.
And discouragement and disappointment and depression are very real. Very real. But I think what I'd like to share with you today is that in order to get out of that situation of depression or hopelessness is not to add more hopelessness, not to continue to think about the sad things or the opportunities that you might have missed out on. I believe it is time to look at the opportunities that God wants to propel you in. It's time to think about, okay, God, because that's the gift as well, to be able to repent and to turn from it and to say, God, help me. Yes. To be able to cast your cares upon him, because you know that he cares for you, that you know that he can do something about your situation, that you know he can turn it around for your good. And so we're not saying come on a side where there's no hope and no answers. He is the answer. The gift is the answer. And as you receive it, hallelujah. You get stronger. Yes. You get better. You get quicker. Amen. And, you know, I don't know anything or any sport or any situation that you can get better at without putting effort in.
Right.
Without right. reading or without inquiring, without asking. And here simply God said, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. And we're so used to trying to bring our own rest and peace to the point we'll use melatonin, we'll use Zyquil, we'll use NyQuil, we'll use alcohol, we'll use drugs, but we won't choose the gift. We won't allow the gift giver to come in and to turn the situation around for us. I know I said a lot, Cassandra.
Yes.
What are your thoughts right now?
Amen. Amen. My thoughts are Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God.
That's a good one.
And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You want joy. You want peace. You want freedom from your mind. You want freedom from your situation. You want healing in your family. You want healing in your body. God wants to give it to you. He does. And so the transition from this phase of hopelessness to this joy of the Lord that we speak of, it's in first seeking God out. The things that we're saying, they'll sound foreign until you begin to do the work to find out who Jesus is and who God is. That's why the scripture says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Accept God's gift. Accept what he's done for us already. He's already paid the price for all those things that you're feeling and are going through. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to live it. God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Joy will be added to you.
Yes.
Love will be added to you. Long-suffering, kindness, healing, it will be added to you. So, you know, I think the message has been made clear that truly, when you're in those moments and you don't know what to do and you don't know how you're going to get out of it and you don't know where to go and you don't know truly how you're going to get from here to there.
Yes.
I think the answer truly is that you don't have to do it alone.
You're not alone.
You're not alone. It's not just for you to figure out. God wants to hold your hand. God wants you to invite him into the situation. God wants you to invite him in your heart. He wants to be a part of your life.
Yes.
He wants to be there with you, making those decisions with you, guiding you. He has a plan for your life.
He has a plan.
He knows exactly what he wants to do in your life. Will you let him? Will you give him the key? Will you open up that door to your heart and let him in? It could all be so simple. It just takes accepting the gift, doing the work, seeking God first, inviting him into every decision, every circumstance.
Yes,
that's why Christians and people of God say that you must pray without ceasing. You looking for a parking spot on the street? Ask God to help you.
He's done it. Yes.
We've seen him do that.
Yes.
So truly, it's about once you have God in your heart, and you are seeking first, you know, what God says and what he says about things, and just truly living a life of righteousness and holiness in the way that Jesus Christ has outlined it for us and with his own life, then truly, you know, you will begin to see the blessings and transformation of your life. God will not come into your life and keep it the same.
Never. Amen. Boy, I tell you, when you're talking around the table, time goes by so fast. If you learn nothing, learn this. Receive the gift. Boy, I tell you, we speak life and blessings on you, and we just pray that you would see God in everything. Amen, and that you would trust him. Remember Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. You've been listening to Never Give Up, Where Giving Up Is Not an Option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. We sure are grateful for having Cassandra on the air with us today. And remember, greatness is on the inside of you. We will hear you next week. Blessings.